Imagine sleeping in the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's iconic sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code Odyssey. So head to B-O-L-L and branch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Welcome in, everybody, to the Flagship Podcast. I am Chip Brown at Horns247.com, joined by the managing editor of Horns247, Taylor Estes. Taylor, how you doing?
I am doing well, Chip. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. We are recording on Tuesday, February 7th, and so we're going to get into some stuff. Today, we're going to talk about, little winter workouts for football, little Chris Jackson, the new receivers coach. We're going to talk about, we're going to start doing a little position preview countdown to spring football, which starts the first week in March. Talk a little basketball, of course, love it or leave it. But Taylor, I feel like, there's a lot of curiosity, a lot of intrigue, a lot of interest in what on earth is going on with Texas and Oklahoma trying to get out of the Big 12 and into the SEC in 2024.
Yeah, I think that's a good place to start it, Chip, because
okay,
everything that went down, everything's gone down since we last had our podcast. And there's been the Big 12 meetings that were going on. Sounds to me like things are kind of all over the place right now. You have always been the realignment guru insider. What is the latest going on?
Yeah. So it's, as I wrote in the insider last week, it really is, everything has been agreed upon. The remaining schools in the Big 12, the Big 12 commissioner, Brett Yormark, they're all good with Texas and Oklahoma moving on. The exit fees, you know, kind of depending on who you talk to, have been agreed to that Texas and OU would pay to the Big 12. And it's coming down to how to make Fox whole for the Texas and OU games that they will lose in 2024. If Texas and OU leave the conference a year early, it's about 7 games. And the value of that is being hashed out between competitors. It's being hashed out basically between ESPN and Fox. And there's new blood, bad blood between those two after Fox got the Big Ten broadcast rights and did not give a piece of it. Remember, they gave out 3 subcontracts, NBC, CBS, but not ESPN. Mm-hmm. And And so what were, what, oh, hi, Riggs, my dog, very excited about someone at the door. So forgive him, but he's also very concerned about whether ESPN and Fox are going to be able to sort of work out what the value, the compensation that Fox needs to agree to Texas and Oklahoma moving on. And so there've been many, and if you are a subscriber, a member at Horns 24/7, and you follow along in the Insider, there's been kind of multiple proposals as to how to make Fox whole. We've talked about the fact that at one point, Texas and OU were asked about playing games in the future against former Big 12 schools at, you know, those schools, home and away. And could those games make up for the value of the games that would be lost in 2024? Texas is playing Michigan and Ohio State from 24 to 27. And the games at Texas, could you give those games to Fox and not ESPN? And have those games, you know, count as that compensation or just straight money. And ESPN, Disney, has a lot of money. And right. So that's really what it's boiled down to, Taylor. And right when everyone thinks it's close, because everyone else is agreeing, right? You've got the remaining schools, the Big 12 commissioner, you're thinking that's the heavy lifting, but then now we've got this back and forth between ESPN and Fox. And look, Fox is going to try and get everything they can and more. And ESPN is trying to say, hey, wait a minute here. Here's what's fair. And this is what's fair. And Fox is like, well, maybe that's not so fair. Maybe we need a little more. And so it's, you know, I think there's frustration. I think that came through in Pete Thamel's tweet and story last week. Pete Thamel works for ESPN. ESPN's frustrated. And I think ESPN is ready to, you know, put a fist through a wall over what Fox is asking for here. But I still think that we're close. I mean, even though it's testy and it's tempestuous, I still think it's close because you've got agreement in other key areas. It's really coming down to Fox and ESPN, cooler heads prevailing and saying, okay, here's what's fair. So those lawyers at ESPN and Fox get paid a lot of money, not to give ground. And so that's where we are, Taylor. And it's, but I still think it's going to happen because everything, points to that. The Big 12 is ready to say goodbye to Texas and OU for scheduling purposes. And they have their new media rights deal. They're going to be okay. They're actually going to make, you know, between $2 and $4 million per school per year more without Texas and OU. Now, will that money scale? Probably not, but still they're whole and they're ready. They're ready to say, okay, let's move on. And so I think this is going to happen. And I still think it can happen pretty quickly, but it's, like I said, you got lawyers and two big corporations who are really, it's testy. So, you know, it's a good old fashioned Hollywood story right now.
Yeah. And talk about like poor, you have to have sympathy a little bit for Brett Yormark here because, you know, he just took over as Big 12 commissioner. He probably doesn't want this to be kind of the way his career starts, is this like headline after headline after headline that some of them have made it kind of seem like it's the Big 12, you know, that are, and I mean, it did start that way. Let's be honest. It's been some of the schools in the Big 12, obviously, but it's like, it almost seems like people see headlines and they honestly just assume at this point, it's still the conference members that are angry or have their feelings hurt that Texas and OU are leaving and, you know, digging their heels in. And I mean, you would hope that Brett Yormark is kind of a PR expert right now and how to maneuver through this, because the fact that the people who really are the determining factors in realignment are the ones that are at odds, it seems like the overall consensus, I think, from the general type of social media type of response is, oh gosh, like the Big 12 is still pissed off about Texas and OU, when really it's actually the people that always are the ones that push realignment. It's the media, you know, the media networks. I mean, the whole reason realignment really happens is because of those media networks and the money that they're able to give to schools in order to kind of convince programs to, or schools to go in various directions. We've seen it, it seems like annually almost at times. I mean, it's not really, I'm exaggerating that, but this has been ever since 2010, there's always some sort of realignment stuff and it always comes down to the TV networks. And now it's like, this is being halted because of those TV networks and media rights deals. It's kind of just surprising to me, honestly, Chip.
Yeah. And it's, and Fox will be the first to say, hey, we paid a lot of money for these rights and we need to get the return on our investment. We don't, you know, just because, and part of it is because they broke the bank to go get the Big Ten broadcast rights and then be able to sublet them out to NBC and CBS. And so I get it. I mean, it's not, this isn't just trying to be difficult. This is trying to get the money back. And these are public companies and they have shareholders that they have to answer to. And let's be honest, Fox knows that ESPN is motivated to make this happen because ESPN has the exclusive broadcast rights to the SEC football starting in 2024. ESPN would like to be ready to roll with the new SEC at the same time that Fox is going to be rolling out the new Big Ten with USC and UCLA, who will be joining the Big Ten in 2024. That's done. And so it will be a great 30 for 30. Let's put it that way, because, you know, when you go behind the scenes on these, you know, huge broadcast rights deals and the fact that live sports is really the last thing commanding big money from television networks, or, you know, the typical broadcast companies, ABC, CBS, NBC, forget Netflix and Amazon and all those guys who have, you know, subscription television. I'm talking about the networks. And so this is, it's a big financial deal and they're trying to get the money right. But it's, you know, it's interesting because I've reported in the Insider that OU did not want the Big 12 football schedule released, the 2023 football schedule released, until an exit agreement was reached. And then 7 weeks after the fact, 7 weeks later than that football schedule is normally released right at the beginning of December, the Big 12 releases that 2023 football schedule and all the schools post it except for Texas and OU. It wasn't until attention was drawn to the fact that Texas and OU still hadn't physically put that schedule onto their websites that they finally did put it on their websites. But they want this thing done. And they know the rest of the Big 12 has agreed. Your mark has agreed. And so they want ESPN and Fox to get their bleep together. And obviously those networks have asked Texas and OU, and as we just mentioned, for these different proposals and different ways to make Fox whole. It's going to be interesting because, you know, ultimately we'll find out what the recipe was or is for getting this done, because I do think it'll get done. But it's not happening on the timetable that Texas and Oklahoma wanted it to happen.
Yeah. So, and as of right now, as of 4:30 PM on Tuesday, Texas does not have the football schedule for the 2023 season on their website. OU does. Texas still doesn't. Now, I will say Texas is not very good about keeping their website updated, honestly. I mean, there's been a number of times where I've been there and I'm like, I can't even trust the stat page because I are not right. But like, you know, in the last story they have on their football page is from 1:30 2023 about the conference, Longhorns in the NFL conference championship. So they haven't updated pretty much anything on their website, but their schedule, if you click on schedule as of right now, it goes to the 2022 season. You do future schedules. It has three non-conference games in 2023 listed, and that's it.
Yeah. So there you have it. It's it is fluid, but the reports that came out late last week that this had fizzled and Texas and OU won't be going to the SEC until 2025, probably premature. But it does go to show just how difficult these negotiations have been between ESPN and Fox to get this finalized. So there you have it. We will leave that there and stay tuned over at horns247.com for all the latest. We will have the insider coming out Thursday morning, so who knows what new fresh intel we'll have at that point. But Taylor, Chris Jackson, the new receivers coach for the Texas Longhorns, is on the job, and he came in from the Jacksonville Jaguars after spending this past season, his first as a full-time receivers coach in the NFL. He was an assistant receivers coach the previous two seasons in 2020 and 2021 with the Chicago Bears. But he was with the Jacksonville Jaguars, and it was a good year for Christian Kirk and for Zay Jones. And I talked to a source close to Zay Jones, who went to Austin High, grew up in Austin, who said, you're getting a transparent, to the point, excellent receivers coach. And the feedback I'm getting from team sources is that the players have gravitated to Chris Jackson. So that's good news, obviously, because Steve Sarkisian told everyone, told his inner circle, I'm going to go get a technician as a receivers coach who, is no nonsense, yet can, you know, elevate talented young receivers and, you know, handle the personalities with a no nonsense approach. But it sounds like Sark got what he was looking for. And, you know, the big question was, well, what is he as a recruiter? You need your receivers coach to be a good recruiter. And from what it sounds like, Chris Jackson has the personality. He's he's transparent, he's direct. And so we'll see. It's early, it's winter conditioning. It's not spring football. You haven't had snags and snafus and, you know, playing time and depth chart and all that yet. So we'll see how all that gets handled. But early impressions seem positive.
Yeah, the thing that I'm very intrigued about by this, and, you know, I do think I like a no-nonsense type of approach from coaches, but in the NIL era today of what college football is, I wonder how sustainable it can be. I mean, like, you know, Tom Herman, his team's always played really hard. He was a no-nonsense type of guy, and the players hated him. And so, and now he probably took it to the extreme. I think you have to
probably,
you can be tough love, but there's got to be a little love in there. You can't just be going, you know, your head basically blowing off your shoulders every second of the day just because of one little thing happening. But I'm very curious to see with the type of, you know, kind of, I don't want to say a word that's going to frame them in a bad light, but you know, some of the receivers are,
diva quotient.
Yes, yes, exactly. Like kind of that, you know, I wonder how in this era of college football, it's going to work. Obviously Chris Jackson is not coached at the college level. I don't think ever. Right.
Right.
Yeah. So, he'll probably have a little bit of learning on the job when it does come to handling, like the recruiting aspect, that type of thing. I know he's used to NFL players, and obviously there's a lot of divas in the NFL. However, there's not really the transfer portal really in the NFL either. I mean, I guess free agency, but still it's a little bit different. So I'm just very curious how this, how no nonsense he is and how it is accepted at a skill type of position. Because obviously it's accepted at offensive line, defensive line. You know, everyone knows Bo Davis. No nonsense. Kyle Flood, no nonsense. I mean, the guys that coach in the trenches are almost always that type of approach, and it's expected, but the skill talent, you know, can be a little bit different. And I'm very curious to see how that will kind of continue as he's, you know, as real practices really begin.
Yeah. And I think the obvious message from him would be, look, if that kid in our receiver room is getting more NIL money than you, then go prove it on the field and you'll get yours too. Mm-hmm. And that's how it's done in the NFL. And I've seen guys who are making next to nothing rise up and get paid big money by getting it done every single day and showing that they can work and be a good teammate. And so I agree with you. I mean, you know, we've heard different things about who was or wasn't holding Xavier Worthy accountable this past season. And it just sounds like, from what I heard, Chris Jackson is direct, maybe not as much no nonsense as direct.
Yeah.
And I think players appreciate that. You know, Tom Herman was so sarcastic and it bordered on belittling that I think players resented him. And as long as you're direct and not ever getting personal, sarcastic, stuff like that, then, and Urban Meyer was sarcastic, I don't know about you, that I'm not good with that. I'm not good with the sarcasm. I'm like, tell me how it is. Tell me straight up. And I can deal with that. I don't need all the extra pepper and jalapenos on there with what you're saying, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think sarcastic is a really nice way of you saying what it truly was. I mean, it was belittling at times. I mean, we heard all the stories. You go talk to a former players that played under Tom Herman away from being in front of a microphone and ask them what really, you know, went down. You know, I mean, I know it comes off sarcastic, like the whole kicker thing. Oh, right. Well, I guess. Yeah. Saying their names. If you heard behind the scenes stuff of how that really went down, I mean, it pissed off players left and right to where there was at one point almost a scuffle at practice because of it with Tom Herman, because he was belittling Michael Dixon. I mean, it's that type of approach for sure. And, you know, I think you're right with the directness. I think that's a good approach. And Steve Sarkisian's like that too. You know, he has the very, you know, open, transparent message to the players, like where they're at, where they need to improve, what the future is. And if the future involves them being at Texas or having an opportunity to see playing time. So that does kind of fall in line. But Steve Sarkisian, from all accounts that we've heard, he's not doing it in a belittling fashion. So, you know, that's, it'll probably be good for Sark to kind of help Chris Jackson along that way. If for some reason it comes off as harsh, and it doesn't seem like it at this point now.
Yeah. And I wrote in the Insider, you know, last week, that receiver room, the competition, all of it, the size, the speed, the you've got all kinds of variety of ways to get deep. You got four guys who are sub 11, 100 guys, you know, Brennan Thompson, Ryan Niblett, Jontae Cook, Xavier Worthy. You got 6'4 and 6'3 guys in A.D. Mitchell and Isaiah Nair, who may not be, you know, sub 11, 100 guys, but they're plenty fast and they're huge and can get deep. And that's what Steve Sarkisian has been looking for, is the ability to stress the defense from both sides of the field, all over the field, and force the safeties to have to stay back. And that's what he feels like he's getting closer to, and that will help his offense go from averaging 36 points to over 40 points, like he was averaging at Alabama in 2019 and 2020, when he had, you know, Devontae Smith, Jerry Jeudy, Jalen Waddle, Henry Ruggs, you know, just a ridiculous amount of speed and talent at the receiver position. So,
and
no pressure.
A more veteran quarterback too.
Right. And established quarterbacks in his system with Tua Tagovailoa and then Mac Jones. So, with Quinn Ewers in his second year in this offense, I think Steve Sarkisian, and we didn't get to talk to him last week because of this ice storm, for God's sake. But I imagine when we do talk to Steve Sarkisian, probably won't be now until
spring football starts. Yeah.
Starting in first week of March, but thanks a lot, ice storm. But I imagine he'll say that he's getting closer to having the kind of offense that he envisioned and operated when he was at Alabama. So exciting times for Chris Jackson. No pressure, Chris Jackson. You just got to turn all these guys into Devontae Smith, Jerry Jeudy, Jalen Waddle, and Henry Ruggs.
Yeah. And you also now have to recruit, and you don't have time off anymore. But
right,
it's all right.
Yeah. Other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how was the play? All right, so. Winter workouts, they're going, and, you know, speaking of receivers, it sounds like Isaiah Nair continues to run well, and that's big in his recovery from the ACL tear, and, that Jalen Catalan, the transfer from Arkansas, looks good, you know, from a physical standpoint. We know there have been some shoulder issues there, but, so far so good on Jalen Catalan. So it's going to be intriguing, to say the least. Fans are going to be all probably riled up for that April 15th spring game, Taylor, because I don't know how Texas is not going to be picked to win the league in 2023.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And I always think it's funny to say, like, oh, they're going to be riled up for a spring game, which spring games are the silliest. I mean, it's great for fans. I know, you know, I joked last year, my sister-in-law got married in Mexico when Texas played their spring game. And when I told our supervisor, Kevin, about it well in advance, because I was in the wedding. And so I was like, oh, dang, I can't cover a spring game. And I was like, thank you, Emily, for getting married that day, because those games are so boring to cover. But it's fun for fans. You know, they at least get to see a snippet of what work has been going on. I wouldn't say it's a snippet of what they will see in the upcoming football season, but, you know, kind of see some of these new guys. And Texas has a lot of new guys on the roster, not just from the you know, the transfer portal with adding AD Mitchell, but also a lot of new early enrollees, obviously the headliner being Arch Manning, Anthony Hill, Cedric Baxter Jr. Speaking of, if you missed the interview edition of the flagship podcast from Monday, definitely go back after we're done here and listen to that. We caught up with Chip did a really good interview with Cedric Baxter's high school coach at Edgewater High School, coach Cameron Duke. And he had just amazing things to say, not just obviously everyone knows he's a five-star, you know, he's talented, but just how special he is on and off the field when he knows. I mean, the fact that he noticed how special this kid was going to be was when he was a freshman in high school. And it's a rarity that even he's in a position to do that. So definitely an interview worth listening to.
Yeah. Yeah. Good call there, Taylor. Thanks for reminding everyone about that, because you want to know what makes this guy tick. Cedric Baxter, CJ, they call him because he's Cedric Baxter Jr., his dad, Cedric Baxter Sr. So CJ, Ced Jr., that's a great glimpse into what makes him tick. Some anecdotes about what he was able to accomplish in high school, and then how he wanted to hold teammates accountable. And that to me is the good stuff. Is he a good teammate? Is he a guy who's going to bring others with him? Is he going to elevate others? Because we saw that with Bijan Robinson and Roschon Johnson, and obviously those are big positions to fill with those guys moving on, and CJ Baxter is going to be certainly in the mix to help carry that load as a true freshman. And we saw Bijan Robinson on a bit of a pitch count under Tom Herman. Let's see how many carries he can earn as a freshman with Steve Sarkisian running the offense.
Yeah. And there, I mean, the running back room still has a ton of talent in it. You know, if you look at Jonathan Brooks, Jaden Blue, haven't even really seen him at all. Keelan Robinson's kind of that Swiss Army knife for both offense and special teams too. So there's definitely a lot of, you know, talent in there. But one thing when Chip was doing the interview with Coach Duke, I was obviously recording it in the background and listening in. And it was kind of funny. I'm not trying to overcook this, and I don't want fans. I'm going to preface this. I'm not saying this is what's going to happen day one. You know, we got to see this kid in the first place, you know, run the ball. We haven't seen him, you know, in person at Texas yet. But when he was describing Cedric Baxter Jr., I was kind of like, man, it almost sounds like a mold of Bijan Robinson and Roschon Johnson put into the same body, you know, with him. He made a comment about him being an even better person as he is a football player, and that's saying a lot because he's a really elite football player. How many times do you hear Steve Sarkisian say that about Bijan? How many times have we said that about Bijan too, you know, after covering him and stuff? And then the leadership and accountability he had in the locker room. You know, he has a voice when he spoke at Edgewater, you know, in the locker room, people listened. That was kind of like how Roschon Johnson was at Texas. So, you know, I'm not saying expect that day one. He's a true freshman. You kind of have to earn your place a lot of times, and you have to earn the right for people to respect your voice when you talk. But that's a good sign for what the future could potentially become with him in that locker room for Texas.
Yeah, Cameron Duke tells a great story about how his wife gave birth to one of their children and he had to miss a game. And CJ Baxter came to him after that game and said, "Coach, I didn't like some of the things I saw on the bus and, you know, in the locker room." And that's the kind of stuff that makes you kind of stand up and go, "Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. He's part of the solution. He's not part of the problem." And that's what you want to hear as a coach, first and foremost, but as a fan as well. It makes it a whole lot easier to cheer for CJ Baxter. And I'm very eager to see what this kid, how confident he is and just how quickly he can process. 'Cause that's the key. Can he process the information? Can he get his assignments down, get the playbook down? And we hear it over and over again. We had Derek Johnson on the flagship podcast and his advice for Anthony Hill and all Leonga Lafau and all these for linebackers who just came in the 2023 class, get in your playbook. Don't think your athletic ability is going to sustain you. It won't.
Yeah.
Now, maybe if you're Derek Johnson, it will for a year, but you know, get in the playbook and get it processed, because that's just going to accelerate your path to your potential.
Yeah. You're no longer in high school where you're probably the best player on the field for both teams. Honestly, you know, you not only are facing a higher amount or a more elite talent consistently on rosters across the board, but you also have to be a film study junkie and a playbook, you know, really make an effort for that. And that takes time. And, you know, this is where some of the upperclassmen, some of the older guys really have to help these guys along, because obviously Texas added a lot of talent in that 2023 signing class, the nation's number three ranked signing class in the 24/7 Sports composite team rankings. But they need guidance, and it can't just only be coming from the coaches. I mean, some of the best, you know, what you want a locker room to be is a player-led locker room. I think you can ask any coach in college football about that. I know Steve Sarkisian has wanted that, and you know, that is where things, the magic kind of starts. But you need some of those guys to play the role model, and not just of keeping guys accountable, but showing them the way of how to prepare at the college level, because it's so much different than at the high school level.
Yeah. All right, Taylor, you ready for a little position preview as we count down to spring football? We're going to start with the big fellas up front, the offensive and defensive line. You want to start with the offensive line or the defensive line first?
Let's start with the offensive line. We were just talking about the running backs, so this is a good kind of transition. Let's go O-line first.
Yeah, and it's interesting because you do have two offensive linemen who've had surgery, and Cole Hudson, the shoulder surgery, and Connor Robertson had surgery on his left wrist, and they are going to be, well, Cole Hudson's out for the spring. Connor Robertson might be back for some of the spring. Connor Robertson is, both actually, Connor and Cole are backup centers to Jake Majors, in addition to Cole Hudson, who started every game at right guard and played the entire year with that torn labrum in his shoulder. And that tells you how tough that kid is, because he didn't want to miss. He didn't want to miss spring ball. He was an early enrollee last year, and once he started excelling and getting reps and moving up the depth chart, he didn't want to interrupt that with surgery. So he played the whole season with it, and he had a little harness on. Not a little harness, the guy's 300 pounds. big harness on that shoulder under his pads, but a credit to him. But that does open reps and experience for Devin Campbell, DJ Campbell, who was the highest rated five-star, highest rated interior lineman in the 2022 recruiting class nationally, who, you know, couldn't beat out Cole Hudson for that right guard position. And, you know, by all accounts, Taylor, he's growing in confidence and is, you know, he's going to benefit. He's going to benefit from those reps. Texas is going to have some depth at the guard position. Obviously, you've got Hayden Connor at that left guard position, and Jake Majors, who teammates have pointed to as a key vocal leader for this team, with Roschon Johnson and Bijan Robinson moving on from the offense. And then obviously you've got Kelvin Banks, the monster freshman star left tackle, and the surprise return of sixth year super senior Christian Jones, Taylor. So you're getting that offensive line back.
Yeah, you are. And plus, you know, that's before we really talked about like Cam Williams. He started seeing more playing time, or some more, you know, action, not really like starting time or anything, but he was a guy when we were able to talk to Kyle Flood at before the Alamo Bowl, you know, he was a guy, he kept talking about his progression and being something that maybe we're not, you know, the public and the fans and media even are not seeing because it wasn't always on the field. But what he said about Cam Williams, you know, in practice, as a guy that really has progressed in a way that you want to see. And, you know, that's a huge, you know, thing, and you want to see that continue. But I mean, for, you know, with, I know Junior Angelau, he's moved on. The fact that Christian Jones is staying at Texas, Chip, I'm just curious, would you say, in your opinion, would you say that this is shaping up to be one of the more like depth or deep offensive lines, at least in the last like decade at Texas? Because I'm kind of thinking that.
Yeah, I mean, we got to see what Cam Williams looks like in the spring. He's going to work at left tackle too, because Andre Carrick has moved on. And so he could be your swing tackle. Kind of like Derek Kerstetter, who, you know, played just about every position on the offensive line before he left. But yeah, this is a big spring for Cameron Williams, because it looked like was going to be ascending to that right tackle starting position. And then Christian Jones, you know, decided to come back, and Christian Jones was a solid right tackle last season after struggling at left tackle in 2021, and was one of the better stories that way for Texas. But, Cameron Williams, I'm going to be interested to see how much work he gets on the left side versus the right side. Because they love his size, 6'7", you know, 360 plus, and he can move.
He's really athletic, like surprisingly.
Yeah. When we were talking to Kyle Flood, that's what stood out, is that he's not just a giant, he can move. And that's where the magic happens, when those big guys can be light on their feet and really be able to, especially obviously in the pass blocking, you know, whether they're going up against a speed rusher or a bull rusher, speed to power, you got to be able to set your feet and move your feet to get set. And that's where Cameron Williams, at least according to Kyle Flood, has passed the test. So you've also got Malik Ogbo and Nato Umezulu, who's, you know, both of those guys are working at guard, and so, you know, does one of them, you know, operate at tackle as well? And then you've got the early enrollee freshman, Taylor. I mean, it's impressive. Last year they didn't have any offensive linemen as early enrollees. This year,
Cole Hudson was there.
Yeah, Cole Hudson. Sorry, Cole was the only one. Of the five freshman offensive line, probably the best offensive line recruiting class Texas has ever had. And now you've got, you know,
like
Jaden.
Four, right?
Yeah, Jaden Chapman, Andre Kojo, Peyton Kirkland, and Connor Stroh, all working out right now. And going to be going through spring. So yeah, the depth of the offensive line is, I mean, think about what we were, where we were a year ago.
Oh yeah.
They didn't have enough guys to run 5-on-5.
Yeah. In the spring game. Yeah. Spring. I mean, that's in
without walk-on.
I mean, yeah, that was something, I mean, it was shocking. And that was why I think, you know, I was not critical, but very thought that this was going to be a, you know, kind of a down year again from the offensive line, and, you know, something Kyle Flo was going to have to work through. But man, that I was proven wrong in a substantial way. And I think Cole Hudson was a huge story for that, because I think everybody expected Kelvin Banks. If you had heard prior to the spring say that Texas last year was going to have two true freshmen starting on the offensive line, I think a lot of people would have expected them to be the five stars, like Calvin Banks and DJ Campbell. But the fact that Cole Hudson made a claim for himself in spring and continued it early on in fall camp, where he earned that spot. And that was a name I don't think many people would have expected to be one of the freshmen who would contribute substantially, let alone start every single game.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And it's, you know, there's a lot of sort of, I don't know, anticipation, speculation, that's the word, about would Kyle Flood try to get bigger at center? I don't know. Jake Majors is a pretty valuable guy, pretty valuable voice on that team. But Connor Robertson and Cole Hudson give you a little more size at that center position. We'll see. But I think Jake Majors is a pretty important voice on that offensive line. And so the guy's whip smart too. So if it ain't broke, but Taylor, let's move over to the defensive line, because we know there's a lot of returning talent with Tavondre Sweat and Byron Murphy, Vernon Broughton, Alfred Collins, especially, you know, those guys are your interior guys. And you've got Baron Sorrell back. He was the sack leader for the Longhorns, 5.5 sacks last year, but you lose Ovi Igofu, and the name is Justice Finkley. That's the guy that you're looking at as the most likely replacement for Ovi Igofu, but it's really, there's a lot of young talent on that defensive line, and you've got early enrollee freshman Sadir Mitchell, who's 330 pounds, and that's the golden goose. I mean, that's the guy that these Texas coaches covet, because you got to have the big guys who can't be moved. And so we'll see how well he's adapting in spring ball, because he's a big guy. And if you read our man Mike Roach, he's going to need a little work on the bod and the conditioning, but that he's got, you know, he's got the tools for sure to get it done in there. And then, you know, from a pass rush standpoint, you've got all these different body types. You got Jamon Tapp, who's a fast guy. You've got length with, you know, Ethan Burke and Colton Vosick. I'm fascinated, because I hear, and I wrote about this in the Insider a little bit last week, those two are pushing each other, because they're former teammates at Westlake, you know, right. For Ethan Burke, it's like, okay, little buddy, you know, who's not so little, he's 6'7". And Vosick is a mean streak guy. So I think that is turning into a nice little competition that's going to benefit the Longhorns. And, you know, Jare Bledsoe, and then the young guys at tackle, Zach Swanson, Aaron Bryant. I mean, this is what you want. If you're Texas, you want these young studs to get developed, so that when Tavondre Sweat moves on, if Byron Murphy has a great year and moves on, that you're just rolling guys in still with, you're still able to roll six deep, because that's what the great teams do.
Yeah. And, you know, you win and lose games in the trenches, and you know, a very different recruiting approach too that Steve Sarkisian and the staff is taking, as opposed to Tom Herman kind of loading up on skill talent. But this is what you want. If you're a Texas fan, you look at, I mean, the fact that you just named like 15 people seemed like that's exaggerating, but still, and Darian Gillette, you know, the edge rusher from where's Teague, I think is where he, what, Teague High School, but he's an early enrollee too. I mean, this is what you want to see from the recruiting approach, and you want to see these guys get developed. You know, the immersion of Baron Sorrell was huge. I think Bo Davis is the perfect coach to develop these guys. You know, he has a proven track record both in college and at the NFL. And, you know, if Texas can make it to where both lines of scrimmage are the strength on the team, look out.
Yeah.
That's all I'll say.
And that defensive line, I mean, I'm hearing early murmurs that they could be better this year than they were last year. And they led the nation in quarterback pressure. So that really gets you excited, because when you can rush with four or three and get pressure on the quarterback or collapse the pocket or disrupt running lanes, then you're at an advantage over the offense. And that's, you always look to see how many running quarterbacks you're going to face, because that is the X factor. That's the player who can sort of outnumber the defense. But they've got speed. They got a little bit of everything on that, on the edges of that defense. And Baron Sorrell's the guy who needs to take that next step. He needs to add a couple more moves and counters to be able to be, you know, super disruptive. I don't want to put him in that category, but, you know, Will Anderson, you watch Will Anderson at Alabama and you see all those tackles for loss. You know, that's where Baron Sorrell needs to be. And I'm not saying this is bad, because Jahdae Barron had a great year, but when you've got a nickel corner as your leader in tackles for loss, that's wild. Mm-hmm. That's a guy who can sniff out a bubble screen and go collapse penetrate the blocking, get that receiver down outside or behind the line. But, you know, typically your tackles for loss leader is an edge rusher, a linebacker. If you're Casey Hampton, a defensive tackle. I'm just saying, in 2023, the Texas tackles for loss leader needs to be one of those guys on the defensive line.
Yeah, I totally agree with that, Chip.
Yeah. All right. Well, okay. A couple nuggets on UT basketball, and then we'll get to Love It or Leave It. And Taylor, if you'd have told Texas fans, hey, Texas is going to go 2-2 playing at number 4 Tennessee, which is now number 2, home against Baylor, and then at number 7 K-State and at number 9 Kansas, you go 2-2 in those games, every Texas fan would have taken it.
Yeah.
And so kudos to the Longhorns. That K-State win to me was special, because that was a team that came into Austin, beat Texas 116-103. It was a school record for points scored in regulation by K-State, regulation or overtime for that matter. And Texas played well offensively in that game too, scored 103 points, but there was no defense played. In this game, Texas got after it. They put the clamps on Marquise Noel. They were aggressive. Keontae Johnson got into foul trouble. He only played 5 minutes in the first half. And Texas came back from another double-digit deficit in a really hostile environment, and then had that steely nerve in the final 4 minutes. We've talked about Texas is one of the best teams closing in the final 4 minutes of a close game, and they pulled that game out 69-66. And it was a lot to ask to turn around and have to go, you know, 2 days later and win in Allen Fieldhouse against a desperate Kansas team that already has four conference losses, coming off a loss at Iowa State. They were desperate and they played like it, and Texas fell behind by 14 again, came back, tied it with 17 minutes left in the game, and too many turnovers. Great performance from Marcus Carr, 29 points, Timmy Allen, 18 points. They were aggressive. They attacked the basket. They went to the free throw line. They did what you want to be done. Marcus Carr had 4 turnovers. That was troubling. And Tyrese Hunter had 3 turnovers, especially 2 back-to-back right when the game was kind of, going back and forth, and allowed KU to get on a 6-0 run that Texas really didn't recover from with about 12 minutes left. But still, it was impressive. When you look at the whole 4 games, there were too many turnovers and too many layups and dunks given up in that Kansas game. But again, a lot to ask of this Texas team. I'm nothing in that 4-game stretch I mean, that four-game stretch only bolstered my opinion of this team and the work that Rodney Terry's doing.
Yeah, I mean, it's definition of a gauntlet stretch. And, you know, I mean, the fact alone that they basically just stayed in Kansas after that K-State game, you know, for several days, because that's how close they were, or, you know, how quick the games were back-to-back there. They only had one day rest. I mean, and for them to make it a game, I think that's a big deal, too.
All right, listen, let's get to Love It or Leave It.
All right, before we get to Love It or Leave It, we're going to take a really quick break, but stay tuned. We have more football talk coming up. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, Chip, my first Love It or Leave It for you is, Love It or Leave It, Texas and Oklahoma will be in the SEC for the 2024 football season.
I'm still going to love this. There's just too many arrows pointing in this direction. There's too much already agreed upon for this Hatfield-McCoy battle between ESPN and Fox to hold this thing up. I just don't think ESPN, when it all is said and done, is going to let that happen, because they have the incentive and the means to make sure that Texas and Oklahoma are in the SEC in 2024. How about you, Taylor?
Yeah, I mean, it's so hard with any type of realignment, because it could literally go any which way at any moment, any second of the day. And but just with, you know, how much the has been agreed upon, like you said, this is the last type of, you know, box on to check off here. I think it'll get done. There's too much money on the table for them not to figure this out. And, you know, the scheduling, the fact that the Big 12 already added, you know, four more schools to the conference, I mean, it's got to get done. So yeah, I'm going to agree and love it too.
All right. Love it or leave it. Number two.
Love it or leave it. The position with the biggest question mark heading into spring football is running back.
I mean, I guess you could say that, because we haven't seen, we've seen Keelan Robinson in little spurts. We've seen, Jonathan
Brooks
in garbage time. But, you know, I mean, to me, the position with the biggest question mark might be, well, okay. Listen to me just all over the place here. Okay, I'll love this. Just because we haven't seen it on a down in basis, I was flirting with saying quarterback because of the step that Quinn Ewers needs to take, but we've seen Quinn Ewers play really well. We know he can do it. And that's why I think people are going to buy this, but, I'll love this, Taylor. How about you?
Oh, I think I'm going to, I don't know. I think I'm going to have to leave it. I would probably say, well, it's hard because like, I feel like there's talent at other areas, but it's not proven too kind of in a similar situation. I would say linebacker just because of how DeMarvian Overshown, you know, he was a really consistent playmaker for Texas. Obviously Jalen Ford returning is huge for the linebacker room. I mean, humongous, honestly. And he was really weighing his options from what sources told me, considering going to the NFL. You know, it was an early win for Sark and the staff to keep him on campus. You know, maybe getting him some NIL money could helped that. But I'm going to say just linebacker, just because it's hard to replace a guy like DeMarvian Overshown.
Okay. Love it or leave it, number three.
All right, final one. Love it or leave it. Even though Texas has a half game lead in the Big 12, it's too early to conclude UT's evaluation of Rodney Terry as coach.
Yeah, I'm going to love this. I mean, it's a great story so far, but it's, you got to wait until the season's over. You got to see how everything goes. And that's, again, it's a really tough situation for Rodney Terry, who, you know, moved back to Austin, gave up a head coaching job, thinking that he was going to be building something with Chris Beard for years to come. And now he's auditioning for a job. Can they increase his pay, Taylor? For God's sake, can they give some of that money that they didn't have to pay Chris Beard to Rodney Terry?
They should.
For this job and these assistant coaches and maybe some of the players. I don't know. No, I can't do that. you know, I'm going to love this because it's season's not over yet. How about you?
Yeah, I'm going to love it too, especially considering the fact that Texas made a pretty substantial investment into the basketball program and building it to be in a position to be possibly a football and basketball type of school, you know, something Texas really wasn't when they did hire Chris Beard. They have that obvious, I know Texas didn't really pay for the Moody Center, but they have, you know, a new arena. The fan engagement is there. I feel like Rodney Terry is going to, as great of a story as it is, he definitely deserves some sort of bonus, at least at the end of the season, for keeping this team together. I just feel like with the amount of effort that Chris Del Conte and the administration have made into building up Texas as a basketball school and putting them into a position to be like, to try to claim that they're a basketball school too, in addition to football, I feel like you've really got to make this hire right. And you need to see, you know, Rodney, this is not a knock on him at all, but you got to see, you know, how the season plays out. And he's done a fantastic job up until now. Now, if Texas ends up going to the Final Four with Rodney Terry as coach, even late in the, you know, lead eight or something, you almost have to be like, okay, well, he kept this train that looked like it was about to go off the rails on the rails and then, you know, pushed it through and had, if they go later in the tournament than Texas has been going in the last, you know, decade, then I think that may be enough, but I think it's too soon to say it now.
Yep. Yep. Good stuff. Good stuff. All right, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to the flagship podcast. Hope we made the last hour infotaining for you. For Taylor Estes, I'm Chip Brown. Until next time, we'll see you over at horns247.com. Stay safe and keep the faith.
Rise and shine, football fans. This is Susanna Fuller from Morning Footy, a podcast part of the CBS Sports Galazzo Network covering the breadth of the global game. Join me, Nico Cantor, Charlie Davies, Alexis Guerreros, and guests every morning for the perfect blend of news, analysis, conversation, and exclusive interviews. If you love soccer, then look no further. We've got you covered for Europe's top five leagues, the W Gold Cup, the Champions League knockout stage, CONCACAF Nations League, NWSL, MLS, transfer news, and much more. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found. Subscribe to Morning Footy.